In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, very early, a new day began. A day without end. Because Christ has risen, the night and darkness of our sins were destroyed. Justice has been given to the Father for the offenses that we made to Him. We have been recreated, reborn in the holy blood of Christ, and today we can present ourselves before God because His unique Son made us worthy of it. Let us, of course, rejoice of such grace and justification. Let us share our chance of triumph and glory to the Redeemer who obtained this immortal benefit for us. But before anything, let us not avoid something which is so forgotten nowadays: thankfulness, gratitude. None of us should be willingly left aside on that day. On Friday, the good thief obtained paradise in such a way. Today with me, you will be in paradise. Suddenly, because of his repentance from being a crook and a murderer, he entered heaven, being introduced by the King of the Kings. If he obtained paradise, why would we not obtain forgiveness? Against any despair that might attain us at the sight of our numerous past sins and our actual weaknesses, Jesus presents himself to us in the glory of the resurrection this morning on Easter Sunday. Just as this heavenly day is never followed by night, so the darkness of sin does not follow the righteousness of Christ. The heavenly light glows, enlightens, and shines forever, and no darkness can imprison it. In the same way, the light of Christ sparkles, shines, and illuminates forever, and cannot be stopped by the darkness of sin. Which is why St. John says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not stopped it." All along today's Mass, we are unceasingly repeating the chant we have been deprived of for the last 70 days. Alleluia. At the difference of the rest of the liturgical year, when it is said two or three times in the same ceremony, we could count much more today. If we include the antiphon Vide Aquam, which now replaces the Asperges Me at the beginning of Sunday's Sang Mass. I know many of you don't know what Sang Mass is. Anyway, we are chanting this word of joy no less than 26 times. 26. That means if we were forgetting about being thankful, the Church made us say it. And in her motherly love, she helps us to fulfill this duty towards our Creator, who is also from now our Redeemer. Like a lover who cannot contain his love, like a child who cannot contain his joy, and repeats several times the same things, full of emotion, we say again and again this word of praise, glory, and thanksgiving. not only the church, but Jesus himself is conducting our prayer of thanksgiving. Jesus towards his Father. He did not only satisfy for our sins and offenses to his Father, he also takes the lead in our thanksgiving, lest we could forget about it. How could we resist such pressing invitation from heaven? How could we dare to turn our back to such a loving Redeemer? He could have remained there, waiting for us to come. But no. Reason, a new life begins. And he is the chief of humanity, because being its maker and its redeemer. He obtains this title at the very high cost of his own life. And knows that everything is accomplished, he desires that all of us join him in his eternal thanksgiving. We shall only know in heaven with what plenitude Jesus lived for his Father during those blessed days. It was certainly with a perfection that ravished the angels. Now that his sacred humanity is set free from all necessities, from all the infirmities of our earthly condition, it yields itself more than ever before to the glory of the Father. The life of the risen Christ becomes an infinite source of glory for his Father. There is no longer any weakness in him. All is light, strength, beauty, life. All in him sings an uninterrupted canticle of praise. Such is the life of the risen Christ. It is a model of ours, and Christ has merited for us the grace of living for God as he did, the grace of being associated with his risen life. Therefore, dear faithful, do not be afraid to approach the holy temple where he is expecting our visits. Unlike the Holy Sepulchre, now empty, Jesus is here, back in the tabernacle, and ready to give himself entirely to you. The more you remain close to Jesus, the more you will look like him. Of course, it goes through pains and sufferings. But like the Passion, this does end, to give place to eternal joy, and this joy, no one shall take it of you. Never forget to look at the apostles. Imitating them sometimes can mean to not imitate their mistakes. They were crushed by the passion and death of Jesus. They escaped. Some even betrayed, and not least. They abandoned the master they had sworn to serve until the end. Sad, disappointed, they returned to their ordinary lives. In 3 days, everything seems almost forgotten. If we enter the cenacle on Easter Sunday, on the Vigil, Easter Vigil, we will see them buried in a fearful silence, shut up for the fear of the Jews. Yet they have heard of the resurrection. Mary Magdalene and the Holy Woman warn them. They do not believe and seem to lose all hope. But despite their infidelity, the master presents himself to them. Pax vobis, peace be with you. It's me. Do not be afraid. As the Father sent me, I send you. Sins will be forgiven through your ministry. Where then can we find more abundant mercy, a forgiveness as generous as in the heart of Jesus? He presents himself. He is a risen triumphant like a friend. What do you need from a friend? A friend must know how to forgive infidelities. A friend must know how to forget ingratitude, endure the defects and weaknesses of our poor human nature. A friend must believe in all the sincerity of our repentance, trust, our goodwill, and the reality of our affection. That's why we don't have too many friends in life. This is what a true friend does. Then on this glorious Easter day, Jesus is not only the glorious conqueror of death, he is also the friend. The friend whose kindness, wisdom, and power adapt to all the needs of our lives to make it germinate the richest hopes. During his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had decided to enter the nights of our despair, so that from now on, we are not alone. His love went that far. During the Easter Vigil, the deacon sang, O felix culpa, O blessed fault of Adam and Eve, O blessed fault which has earned us such a great Redeemer. From now on, for those who love God, says St. Paul, everything converges towards their good. We are resurrected with Christ, and we must seek the realities from above, not those from the earth. Dear friends, in this radiant morning of Easter, where the bells, the joyful Alleluia, and the organ are again heard, our hearts healed, consoled, strengthened, resuscitated, even of a resurrection entirely interior at the end of this fruit of Lent, the liturgy has a magnificent word for this conquering power of charity. God reigned by the wood. It is from the cross that the Lord has made his throne. Behold, your king is coming to you, but the path he has chosen is that of the cross. And for those who want to follow him, there is no other way to return to the Father, to die, to live again. Those who do not hesitate to embark on the narrow path of Calvary know the dazzling resurrection on Easter morning. We were reminded of this during the Easter Vigil. Baptism has brought us from the death of sin. It has buried us with Christ to make us live a new life. From death to life, then sends in us the resurrection of a new life full of fervor, full of victory, because Jesus came to resurrect in each of our souls too. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.